Welcome to StartupRad.io, your podcast and YouTube blog covering the German startup scene with news, interviews, and live events.
Hello and welcome, everybody. Guys, it is getting close to Christmas. This is Joe from StartupRad.io, and therefore I'm bringing you a very special bonus episode this week to you. Very shortly before Christmas. But nonetheless, I would like to welcome Daniel here. Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Jan. I'm doing well, thanks. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. We may tell our audience that this recording is sponsored by Wirtschaftsförderung Frankfurt, meaning the business development agency, who is also supporting Frankfurt Forward. And the reason you are here, you guys won Startup of the Year 2024. Congratulations to that. Can you tell us a little bit about you and your company before we get into the specific questions?
Yes, sure. Daniel Iglesias is my name. I am from the Rhine-Main region. I am married to a teacher. My professional background is in banking technology consulting. That's what I did before I founded DigiSapiens in 2020. What we do at DigiSapiens is we produce speech recognition systems that not just recognize what is being said, rather how it's being said. So it's a speech recognition system that is geared towards special use cases that are relevant to measure how well somebody speaks or reads. And with the help of these speech recognition technology that proprietary, so that we built ourselves, you can build use cases, especially in the area of education. So that's where we started. And the first use case that was built with our speech recognition technology was the LALI-2. LALI-2 stands for Lautlesetutor in German, which is a reading aloud tutor. So it's a tool that listens to students in schools from second to seventh grade here in Germany. While they read aloud, it analyzes how well they do that. So it carries out a diagnosis. And after that diagnosis, they are being trained to become better readers based on the diagnosis that was carried out before that. So basically, that's what we're doing.
May I ask a question here?
Sure.
When you said they are, your tool helps how well they are speaking, their kind of the tone of voice recognition. Is it only how well they vocalize the tones, or is it also that you can deduce some level of their understanding of what they're reading?
The speech recognition technology itself is audio technology, so it listens. So it detects everything that can be caught by a microphone. And contrast to, I call it regular speech recognition systems, where the goal is to detect a probable intent. So what are you probably meaning? So the goal is to carry out task or, now I'm looking, a command. Yeah, to carry out a command. Yeah, play this and that song or whatever. In contrast to that, we really transcribe and listen to what has actually been said. So this includes errors like my that I already said now a few times, and repetitions or text, so regarding in text, repetitions, things that have been left out or added, the tonality of things, and also whether you pronounce words correctly. Yeah, so that's what the speech recognition technology does. But we also develop systems that help students understand the texts better by generating differentiated quizzes. So you cannot ask every reader the same question. It must be adapted to his reading level and also understanding capabilities. So the complexity of the questions and the possible answers also must be adapted. So all in all, we're in the business of providing education specialists with the necessary tools to build very innovative, adaptive tools for learning reading skills or language skills.
That is exactly what I had in mind. vividly remember when, for the first time in my life, I understood a Chinese joke about foreigners. Instead of how, she said how. So the one means good, the other means mouse, different tones. So the question is here, how many languages can you do? And isn't something like Chinese, where there's a difference if I ask Qing Wen or Qing Wen, the one we means please ask. So if you ask for direction, the other one means please kiss, where I made an older Chinese lady on the streets of Beijing really blush. How many of those differences could you actually do? Because on the top of my mind, yes, of course, English is a little bit difficult to pronounce, Spanish as well. But if the tone really makes a difference, like in languages like Chinese, Cantonese, and so on and so forth, that would, where your way to would really come in handy. So my question would be, how much can you do there? Could you give us an idea of the granularity and languages you cover?
Yes, so as of now, we're covering German and English. We did not experiment with Chinese since the Chinese education technology market is highly regulated and basically closed towards foreigners. But my team, I have dedicated experts in working with non-Roman languages, so especially also Indian languages. There's 40-something. Sorry that I cannot recall the exact number. But there's more than 40 languages, official languages spoken in India. We can work with those. We can also work with Arabic character sets. But as of now, in terms of solutions that are at hand, we can work with German language. And next year, we will also launch an English version via API and other languages. We have the skills and capabilities to train and fine-tune models with a short pilot project that we need to carry out with potential customers.
So that means you already, by the way, I linked it in the show notes, Lalu, who was it? Lalu, loud reading tutor, Lale-Tu.
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 In Germany, the song that you sing to children before they go to bed, a lullaby called Lali Lu, yeah, nur der Mann im Mond schaut zu. And we have some similarities there. So it's called Lali Tu. It's about reading.
Sorry, just typing here that we also linked the Lali Lu song here in the show notes. My question, this already establishes something we could deduce from what you're saying. So basically, you are not a customer-facing product. You're one of the tools, the APIs, others could work with in developing their own client-facing B2B, B2C, B2G tools, right?
Yes, with the asterisk, we have developed the Lali tool for our partner at Hans Klett Verlag. So we do develop platforms and applications, but we rather license our speech technology to partners, B2B, B2G, B2C, whatever.
We are already discussing the tool, but before that, I actually wanted to, because I had so many questions, before that, I would actually wanted to ask you where this idea is coming from. I do believe I have an idea since you're married to your teacher, but you have been working in banking, finance, technology, triangle consulting. So where did the idea come from? How did you get that? And especially the question, when did you decide jump ship to really do this full time?
So I was, like you said, I was about 17 or 18 years into banking technology. And I always had the goal to promote young people in achieving, higher education. Let's put it this way, to get the most out of their potential. So I did trainings in schools for how to apply to a job, how do I choose the right job for me, etc., etc. And I always had this passion for helping young people. So that passion was always there. But in 2019, that was the time where I really thought about what can I do with the skills that I have and the knowledge that I have and to really have an impact on our youth in a bigger scale, because this is the time shortly after I became a father of a daughter, and I have observed certain trends in our society here in Germany. 40 to 50% of the children have background with non-German parents, or migration background, as you would call it in Germany. And this leads to some hurdles and some difficulties in the school system. And since we also at the same time have a shortage of teachers, and I have also observed what happens in the market regarding the upcoming uprise of AI, robotics, automation. I was part of it in banking. So I added the deterioration of reading skills towards higher the requirements regarding job skills, and came up with a perspective that I didn't like for the future of my children. So that's why I decided to take my skills, which is general management, business development, technology understanding skills, and work together with the best experts I can find in terms of reading capabilities and reading training, and excellent technology experts, bring those things together and build what you find today.
The tone of voice recognition is fascinating. You already told us the loud reading tutor is something you developed for a customer. Could you also share another example already where an external client is using your tool?
The second example is in the making. It's not ready to be shared publicly, but I must openly say the past was we were highly invested into building that tool, which is one of a kind. It took a lot of attention and all of our resources to get it running in time and make it scalable and stable and user-friendly. So now that the product is fully marketable and almost all bugs are fixed, now we are able and ready to focus on new projects and partners.
I see. You talked about partners here and winning new clients. Winning the Frankfurt Forward Award is a huge accomplishment. What do you think made DigiSapiens stand out among the competition this year?
I think it's the social impact dimension of what we're doing. We are a for-profit social enterprise, so we are here to do good and earn some money at the same time. And I think the audience liked that idea. And I think there's a lot of ed techs out there, but pulling it off in the way that we did by partnering with such a renowned brand like Ernst Klett Verlag as a first initial project, and at the same time building such a unique technology like we do, I think that's what impressed the jury and caught a lot of support in the audience.
Your technology has potential across industries. We already know you're working and focused on the education, but could you also see some other industries where you could, like in the future, a few years down the road, apply it?
Yes, outside of education, there is also the entertainment and gaming industry that could work with our technology, where you could use it to build games that based on reading skills, which would be some sort of educational games at the same time. But you can also use it to build, how do you call it, a presentation trainer or a speech trainer that helps you become a better speaker for public speeches. The creativity and opportunities are unlimited, but everything that involves the ability to carefully listen to what and how things are being said.
I was wondering, I'm sure you thought a lot about potential use cases. Could you share like the most interesting, the most quirky one you already came up with? No need that it actually applied, but you thought, theoretically, our idea could also be applied to.
Yes. So we have applied it to reading learning or reading promotion, but very very relevant use case is also the area of language learning. You have seen big companies like Bubble, etc., use it in some way, yeah. And we envision other ways that are much more focused on dialogues that our technology could be used for to promote language skills or learn a new language. So we are able to evaluate how things are being pronounced. That's one major skill. We can analyze literally what has been said. We can analyze phonemes, all areas of language that we can analyze. And I think this is relevant if you want to learn a language properly. You have given some example from Chinese. You listen to people talk in German with all their accents and dialects. We also have ways to tackle dialects because the way you use your mouth, your tongue, your teeth, so your complete speech apparatus is also something that we can derive from the audio signal. And combining all those measurements into a cohesive didactical concept is something really unique that we haven't seen so far.
Mm-hmm. Going into a little bit different topic, because everybody talks about accuracy, like fantasizing AI and ethical use of AI. With analyzing of tones, you're collecting potentially sensitive information, or your clients do, and you process this. How do you ensure the ethical use and the accuracy when handling this sensitive data?
Yeah, so in Germany, it's always a relevant question whether it's personality or identity-related data. Yeah, that's one major question. And the thing is, if voice really is such data, you would need to have some registry of confirmed identities that are linked to a voice profile or voice biometrics profile to pose some danger to a data leak or whatever. Yeah. And this is not the case and will never be the case. Let's not say it will never be the case. I don't know what happens in the year 2100, but as of now, we don't have a voice register, a public one. And the question is also, even if this existed on government level, the question is also, do companies, do other individuals, criminals have access to this registry, and can they use it to harm you? And I don't see that. When you ask me about ethics in my context, we regard the topic of ethics in terms of accessibility to our solutions. So can somebody from Bavaria use it as the same way as somebody from Saxony can use it? And can somebody with Turkish or Arab accent use it, like somebody from Hannover without any accent? And the answer is yes. So we try to, and we put a lot of effort into avoiding any biases in our speech recognition system by training it very profoundly with different accents and dialects to make sure that it works with every user. Yeah. So that's how we look at that.
So you put a lot of effort into that, making it possible for everybody to understand. We may tell the audience that there are some people who speak very hefty local accents, not only from Bavaria, but Palatine, Pfalz, Saxony, and so on and so forth, but also Plattdeutsch in the very north. It's really hard for you to understand when you're from a different area. Many Americans will understand, will have an idea when I talk about somebody with a very heavy southern draw or something that's also hard to understand. So you took care to cover all those peoples and not disqualify somebody there. So I do believe there was a lot of development work going into. What challenges did you face and how did you overcome this in developing DigiSapiens? Sorry.
Yeah, there were a lot. So which one can I? Yeah, so we started as a company that wanted to provide speech recognition systems only. And then we were suddenly in the position to develop a whole platform. So in a short time, we had to set up a team that was able to do that, build a product team or UX and front-end development team around our core technology team in a very short time, and build a product that fulfills high expectations. And this was a real challenge, to be honest. We, like a lot of other startups, were in the forced to publish a product a year ago that was not perfect, far from perfect. So we got that feedback in the beginning, but we worked really, really hard with our team, which also includes the first level support who is directly in contact with us, our schools that use it, and the partners, to really get the first-hand impression of what is working well and what not. And they are very much integrated into our development process. And we took every feedback very seriously. And now a year after we've launched, I'm confident to say that we have a very unique, innovative, and highly effective reading promotion solution that is, that we can be really proud of.
I see. The AI world is developing pretty rapidly. You are right now, I would say, on the cutting edge of development. How do you make sure that you remain there as one of the top solutions, keeping up with the AI developments?
Thanks for that feedback. We really work hard to be seen this way. So what we do is we invest a lot into R&D. Most of our money goes into R&D. We publish papers. We participate in international conferences where we also do take over tasks and compete against other teams in optimizing models, quantifying models, and raising accuracy. And we always come up on top, also leaving huge names behind us. So we regard this as a sport to develop new methods, overcome hurdles, and really try to be on the cutting or bleeding edge when it comes to sophisticated speech recognition and NLP solutions.
Daniel, I'm sure there will be questions on where are the papers. I do have a few suspects where you mentioned something like this. You will give me, after the official end of the interview, you will give me the link, and I'll post it in the show notes. I do have a few certain suspects that always request something like this. Yes, Claude from Paris, I'm looking at you. Exactly. And then they can dig through it. So let us go into the very last part of the interview, because I'm now already bothering you for like almost 40 minutes in this online meeting and more than 25 minutes in actual interview. So don't worry, there are only a few more questions left. I was wondering, winning an award like Frankfurt Forward often reflects strong local support. How has the Frankfurt ecosystem contributed to your journey so far?
There are a lot. Our ecosystem is very regional. Our investor is regional. Our network helped us find our first customer from the region. We get a lot of recognition and inquiries due to that prize. So it's mostly visibility and also recognition. So it's when you approach somebody and he asks you who you are, what you do, and you mentioned the Startup of the Year award from Frankfurt Forward, especially in the region, everybody stops questioning whether what you are doing is sound and makes sense. So the intro and entrees into conversation, building partnerships, is much easier.
And now only three more questions left. You are right now a leader in a very specialized niche in AI. But what advice would you offer to other startups looking to innovate in the AI and tech space? Some kind of skills, like processes you have learned so far, not only taking the your business ideas from influencers on Instagram?
Yeah, I don't know if I'm the right one to give advice. Yeah, I'm not the tech guy in my company, but what I would generally suggest when looking at tech is not looking at a hype or the technology, but rather trying to solve real world problems. So like in Germany, we have 25% of the children that at the age of 15 do not understand what they read, and they don't understand what they read because they're not fluent in reading. So that's a huge societal problem. And that was the initial thing that led me to found DigiSapiens. I would really not focus on the technology or the AI for the purpose of the technology and AI, but rather using tech as a means to solve a real problem. Yeah? And if it takes AI, it's fine. If not, not.
But one also has to say, in German, there can be very difficult sentences and structures. Everybody who tried either in German or in a translated version to read Kafka should know what we're talking about here. Therefore, it can be difficult. There's a saying in German, Deutsche Sprache, schwere Sprache, German language, difficult language. So actually, it says good things about you guys that you started with the German language and mastered it for your tool, DigiSapiens. We usually close out with two more questions, and they're usually pretty simple and usually end with a yes, but I'll ask them anyway. Are you open to talk to new investors? And as always, I'll link your LinkedIn profile down here in the show notes, wherever you're looking this, wherever you're watching this. But anyways, you either directly in your tool. I'm sorry, not every tool allows links you can then click. So basically, you could go to our blog, startuprate.io/blog, and there we'll link Daniel's profile. Plus, when you are expanding, when you're growing as a young company, I am sure you're also open to have applications from potential new employees, right?
Yes, yes. We're looking for good people, always.
Is there a career website that I could launch, or should the people simply simply reach out to you via email?
Yeah, the latter. Directly reach out to us. We have a way to go regarding an HR department, so everything's handled by the team, depending on the competency somebody's applying for. So use the public channels or directly contact me and I will forward it to the colleagues.
Again, go to the blog, to the LinkedIn profile. Guys, it was a pleasure talking to you, Daniel. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for answering more than 30 minutes difficult questions here and keeping up my stupid interjection as an interrupt. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for having me here. And yeah, Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to everyone.
Yeah, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year from me as well. Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.
That's all, folks. Find more news, streams, events, and interviews at www.startuprad.io. Remember, sharing is caring.